The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I typically think that preaching is mostly about proclamation. It's not for talking about Jesus, but proclaiming what he has done for you. And I'm never going to drift too far away from that. But today's gospel lesson strikes me as one that it might be important to teach a little bit more than to proclaim, or at least spend a little more time teaching. The text is the seat of doctrine for what is called the office of the keys. That office takes its name from what Jesus says: "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." He then goes on to define what those keys are. They are the authority to forgive sins and to bind them. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So this doctrine is about the core of the good news, how the grace of God comes to us. And the office of the keys is the office that causes more of those schisms than anything else. And you can trace most church changes, people moving from one to another, on misunderstandings of the office of the keys. This is one of those rare times that I wish I could share an image with you. It's the papal seal. It's on the flag of Vatican City. You probably know it. It has that three-tiered crown up top, and it's got a stole around it, and it's got a cord, and it also has these two crossed keys. One gold and one silver. That seal goes right to the claim of the Roman Church, that Jesus, in our lesson, gave those keys, the gold one for the loosening, the silver one for the binding, to Peter. And then they would claim the papal successors to Peter occupy the office of the keys. And the successors of Peter allow those who are ordained and who are in communion with the Pope to borrow them while retaining his own appropriate use for certain sins just to himself. The Roman Church is one extreme of this. A typical American Baptist or non-denominational church would occupy the other extreme. Those keys are strictly between you and God. Say the sinner's prayer, admit your sins to God, and you are forgiven. Their teaching on the office of the keys is basically that there isn't an office. It's between you and God. And if you sinned against someone, you can later go make amends with them. Now, as a good Lutheran, when we are involved in a fight over doctrine, we can turn to the confessions. And for most of us, that would be the small catechism. And I'm not sure, but maybe I should pause here and ask. The small catechism has a section on the office of the keys. But for some reason, a lot of fine Lutheran pastors in their confirmation classes just don't teach it. It's like, did anybody ever hear about the office of the keys in confirmation? Or did they, so you got it. So about 50%. And so about half of you just kind of missed it. I think the reason they might not do it is that it's not in the earliest editions of the catechism that Luther published. And teaching it, it sounds like an assertion of personal authority. And so, given those facts, they just kind of avoid teaching it. But it's there. And like almost everything else in the catechism, it sends you back to the scriptures themselves. And I have good news for you there. Yes, Jesus seems to give the keys to Peter alone in our text today. It's Peter's confession that brings us forth. It's Peter's faith. Now, saying they were given to Peter is a far cry from the Roman claim that they're the sole possession of the Pope. Especially when less than two chapters later, Matthew 18:18, when Jesus has given general advice to every believer about how to handle sin, this is the famous passage of if someone sins against you, go talk to them first. And then, if they don't settle with you, bring two or three witnesses. And then bring it to the entire church. But exactly the same binding and loosing authority is pronounced in a much more Baptist-y way. You, when you do this, you have the authority to bind and loose. And the same thing is said in one other place, John 20:22. Where the audience is all of the gathered apostles in the upper room after the resurrection. As Luther would say in the Small Called Articles, another part of those Lutheran confessions, God is superabundant in his grace. And Luther goes on to list all of the ways that God has ordained that the forgiveness of sins might come to us, which include the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. But he also calls out the word spoken, which is the particular office of the gospel. As a called or ordained servant of the word, I forgive you all of your sins. We can let that rest on John, on the entire apostolic ministry gathered. Luther calls out the specific power of the keys. What the small catechism says is that the office of the keys is the special authority Christ has given to the church. The church that Jesus says he was going to build on the rock that Peter represented. The church that confesses Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. A church that shares that confession with Peter has those keys. That church has the right to call and ordain and send those ministers. And then Luther concludes the mutual consolation of the brethren. You don't absolutely need someone ordained. You can exercise those keys yourself, like Matthew 18 would lay out. God is superabundant in his grace. Now, being sinners, we of course find such radical grace offensive. You can't just give everyone a key. Do you know what kind of mess that would cause? If everyone just went around forgiving each other? That's exactly the church that Jesus builds. A church that prays, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. A church that carries in itself the image of Christ carrying the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Believers that take to heart the promise, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hell's fiercest arrows broken lie. Sin, which leads to death, is broken by grace. Grace won for us on that cross. And all of it rests upon our answer to the question, who do you say Jesus is? If he's just another prophet, a good teacher, then he isn't quite so special. And he couldn't give us the keys promised. If he's merely human, the best human, like he called the Baptist, the greatest born of woman. If Jesus was just that, maybe you could side with the Muslims or the Mormons, for that matter, and say that, you know, God sent a greater one later. Now, the power of the keys rests on saying exactly who Jesus is. He's the one. He's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. Jesus himself put forward that importance before he healed the man that was lowered through the roof. Those friends of this crippled man rip open the roof and lower him down in front of Jesus, and Jesus tells the man lying on his mat, your sins are forgiven. Not exactly what they were hoping for. But he did it with a purpose. Because the Pharisees around there start grumbling that only God can forgive sins. And Jesus' reply to them was, what's easier to do? Say your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk. And then he tells the man to get up and walk so that we might know he came from heaven with the power to forgive sins. And he's given those keys freely to us, to his church. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Understand the immense power and authority that has been given to you. The entire pagan world would have said, as above, so below. And Jesus reorders all of that in the office of the keys. as below in your hands, so above. Heaven doesn't need another judge that wants to sit on the seat of Moses, binding consciences. Heaven has plenty of those. Because we're all natural lawyers. And that silver key of the law will not fade a jot or a tittle until it is all accomplished. If you want to have been forgiven talents, and then you want to go extract denariuses from somebody who owes you, you're free to do so. But the church that Christ established in this world is not for such judging. It's for proclaiming the forgiveness. Forgiveness won by Christ, by Jesus on that cross. The keys of the kingdom are in your hands. They're in the church's hands. Use them wisely, knowing who they came from and how they were won. Amen.